Decreasing reliance on hand labor, mechanical thinning experiences in the Sacramento Valley, and future efforts is what Roger added. That's one slide at the very end, but if we have time, I'm happy to address that too. And I want to recognize my cooperators, Janine Hazy, farm advisor in Sutter and Yuba counties. She's been involved in the chemical thinning, mechanical thinning, and mechanical harvest as long as I've been in the game. So we make a really good team. Eric Nielsen Enterprises is our shake operator. We've tried other shake operators. What we found is that the machine setup matters an awful lot. Eric knows what he's doing. He's been shake thinning prunes and mechanically harvesting prunes, pistachios, and almonds statewide for a long time. And he's been working with us on mechanical thinning since 2003. I want to recognize the growers who've been cooperators, Suki Raul, George Chohan, Justin McKelly. And I should mention also, I didn't put his name up here, but Gary Walker, PCA, has been a major cooperator in this venture as well. And our thanks to the California Clean Peach Board for supporting the work. Okay, this is the equipment that's been successful for us. It's a side mount shaker that's got computer generated patterns and precise speed and duration of shake capabilities down to a tenth of a second impulse. And he can generate computer based patterns that are hooks, that are stars, pointed, whatever. It's made all the difference in our success. How much fruit do you take off? That's a big issue. So far in our trials, we've used the grower and orchard manager as the people on the ground to do that fruit load estimation before, during, and after this process, because they're the people who are going to have to be doing this in the long run. I'll add on now, just so that I make sure I don't forget it. What we've learned is it's really hard to do this well enough. We have to do it differently, and that's one of the lessons we've learned. I'll elaborate on that when I get to that point. Now, it is touchy. Okay, here's what we worked with in 2005 and 2007. In 2005, we worked in these two orchards, both Carson, standard prune orchard here with long hangers, what we're calling renewal wood pruned orchard here, moderately cropped, heavy cropped. The other main difference between these two orchards was that this one had a tight bloom, this one had a spread out bloom. So we had uneven fruit size at shake thinning time here, very even fruit size at shake thinning time here. Those three factors made a big difference. Crop load, fruit size, how even it was at the time of the shake, and what the pruning system was. We worked in this orchard this year. It's an intermediate pruning system to these two. It was Lowedell, and as you know, we had extremely heavy set. So these are the other comparisons that are the main ones between 2005 and 2007. In 2005, in both orchards, we had machine thinning and hand thinning as a combination treatment compared to hand thinning alone. It was an average set year. And we had average temperatures in those first 30 critical days after full bloom. The two pruning systems I've already mentioned, renewal wood pruning and standard. 2007, we had machine only versus hand only. It was an extremely heavy set year. Warm temperatures those first 30 days and an intermediate pruning system. All of these are factors that were most important in the results that are different in the 2 years of experimentation. Okay, at harvest time, this shows the distribution in those trees in the renewal wood pruned orchard that were machine thinned plus follow-up hand thinning. I'm showing you primarily that we still left a lot of crop on the top of the trees, and that the fruit distribution was uneven. So you can't think the way you're used to thinking about how a peach tree should look when you've thinned it. If you do anything other than hand thinning, it's not going to look the same. It's not going to be evenly distributed. Here is the hand thin only treatment, same orchard, to show you what the distribution looked like. As a matter of fact, our yields were better in the machine plus hand because the hand thinning crew over thinned in the Manhanthan only trees. Okay, in the renewal wood orchard, these are our results. The time to hand thin following machine thinning was reduced 50 to 70%. The number of fruits that were hand thinned off after machine thinning was reduced 28 to 30% as a result of machine thinning. Total yield on the machine plus hand thinned trees was increased by 22% due to two factors. Earlier removal of fruit by that early machine thinning, which occurred about 30 days after full bloom, and the fact that the totally hand-thinned trees were actually over-thinned. Because on our machine-thinned trees, all he did was break up clusters. He did not space. We asked him to do it that way, and he was very kind and cooperating. Our saleable yield was increased 18% in the machine plus hand-thinned. And there was no difference in fruit size at all, diameter, weight, or anything of the number one fruit. Undersized yield was increased less than 6% of the net. In the standard pruned orchard, again, this had a heavier crop load, bigger trees, long hangers, harder to shake that fruit off those long hangers, especially down below. But he did come back in and hand thin afterwards. However, the fruit size was very uneven, and that made a difference in fruit removal. Nonetheless, time to hand thin following machine thinning was reduced 41% compared to the hand thin alone. Number of fruit that were thinned off by hand after machine thinning was 30% less. Larger fruit size with a machine plus hand thinning treatment, because we were able to remove fruit much earlier, and the fruit that were remaining on the tree then had more time to size. There was no difference in yield, and the off grades were minimal in all categories. Okay, trial results of 2005. What did we learn? There were disadvantages and advantages. We learned that it's very hard to shake fruit off of long, whippy wood, especially those long hangers. It's real easy to shake it off of short wood. It's harder to remove the fruit on the bottom of the tree because most of the force of the shake is transmitted up to the top of the tree. Down below, there's a lot less force. Some parts of the tree have heavier fruit removal than others. It's impossible to get an even distribution throughout any part of the canopy. We're working on making that a bit better. Machine thinning is non-selective up to a point. In other words, when you go in and hand thin, you're selecting only the small fruit to thin off. When you're machine thinning, if you have uneven fruit size, which is not atypical, then you don't selectively shake or remove just the small fruit. In fact, if anything, you tend to select the large fruit. So you have to realize that if you're machine thinning, you're going to leave more small fruit on the tree than you would if you're hand thinning only. That really matters when you have a really heavy set year like we had this year and a very warm period during the first 30 days. What that means is you can't make up that size difference. If you have a cooler spring, you have enough time to make up that size difference if you remove enough fruit. So if you were looking at machine thinning only versus hand thinning, you have to realize that you're always going to have to tolerate an increased undersize unless you have very light set, because you're not at any time preferentially removing only the small fruit. Again, there's an uneven distribution on the tree. More fruit tends to be removed from the top. How do we balance that? Well, one of the strategies I've talked about is preferentially chemically thinning at bloom on the lower part of the tree. Then you have to do less shaking up on the top to begin with. There are other strategies that we want to explore as well, too, that especially include different pruning strategies and training systems. So it leaves the big fruit as well as the small fruit. The other thing is, if you go too late, if you shake too late, you're going to preferentially remove only the big fruit and leave the small fruit. So there's a very narrow window of opportunity, and that's where I get to on the advantages. There's an earlier fruit removal, which means of course, you have to have an optimum time to shake, and that ends up being, at least in 2005, 20 to 26 millimeters in diameter. We confirmed that in 2007. It's right around, actually, a window of opportunity, 20 to 27 millimeters in diameter. You get bigger than that, you're shaking off the big fruit preferentially. If you go too late, you don't want to do it at all. If you got a heavier crop load, it's actually easier to remove the fruit, even when they're smaller. In 2005, we reduced the cost to thin by 90% per acre by machine thinning plus hand thinning. That was 2005. 2007 didn't end up being the same way. How was it different? Well, first of all, we compared machine thinning only with hand thinning only, because what we're really interested in, ultimately, is no reliance on hand labor whatsoever. Up north, that's what we're already facing. Down south, I understand you may have a somewhat different situation, but who knows how long that's sustainable. So ultimately, our goal is a totally mechanized orchard. The other things that we did differently in 2007, we wanted to see what the results were with no hand thinning at all. So we wanted to get the total grade. We did no bin thinning, we did no bin sorting at all. We had extremely heavy set, those early warm temperatures, where the trees could not make enough nutrients to satisfy the needs of the fruit. Here are the yield results from that trial. Single shake at harvest, 454 pounds, that's total yield. Two shake, 331 pounds. Hand harvest, 414. What you see below that, April 30th and June 29th, we took six trees out of our 30 that were our hand harvest trees, and we did what the grower was doing every place else. 9 days before harvest, he did a hand touch-up. So he actually did two hand thinnings. He's now admitted that he overthinned and did it in public earlier this week, so it's not just me saying it, he said so. With that, what he did was he removed all fruit 9 days before harvest that were 43 millimeters in diameter or smaller. So he has 436 pounds yield per tree on that one. It's a much smaller sample size. That could be part of that result. The other part would be that the few fruit that he left on the tree, maybe those 9 days, it made up that much of a difference, but I'm really not sure about that. So how many fruit were there estimated total for each one of those trees? Single shake, 2,600. Two shake, 1,400. Hand thin once, almost 1,800. Hand thin twice, almost 1,600. All over the place. Percentage of the crop is where this really matters. Number one fruit, only 18% of that crop with a single shake was number one fruit. 59% of the crop with two shakes was number one fruit. 72% with single hand, and 80% with two-hand thinning. Saleable yield reflects those differences, and so does the undersize. Take-home message. Eyeballing the number of fruit that are on the tree, and the grower, by the way, did counts before we went in and shook. He was off by more than 1,000 fruit on one of the trees that he counted. Now, I'm not faulting him, because I could have done the same thing. But eyeballing the number of fruit that are on the tree to say, yeah, that looks like you're shaking enough, no, it's not, really didn't work. So we're going to talk about what strategies will work a lot better. We already know what's done in prunes, so we have some ideas of how to do a much better job of that. That will give us better precision. In a high-set fruit year with high temperatures in the first 30 days after bloom, more than 70% of that crop should have been removed if all we were doing is machine thinning. This is an unusual year, but still, it points to what the difficulties were for everybody. Okay, go ahead, next one. Demo site. There was a second site where we simply compared machine thinning plus hand thinning to hand thinning. And all we did was get samples off the trees immediately before harvest and then the harvest grade. These were about equal acreage. There was about 7 acres in one, about 5 acres in the other block. Half of that was machine thin the same date that our first shake went. It was just down the road, another Lowedale orchard owned by the same grower, same pruning system, everything else was the same. He shook that first date when fruit were at about 20% millimeters in size. Then he came back and hand thinned about April 25th on both sites. So that was the first thinning on the hand thin only, the follow-up hand thinning on the machine thin site. Came back again 9 days before harvest and did his touch-up. So I already told you what we did. We compared fruit size with samples off of the trees at random and then compared the grades from the grading station. You can go on. Results. Might be a little hard to see. The mechanical thinning and touch-up hand thinning. That's actually mechanical thinning plus 2 hand thinnings. We had 3.1 fruit per pound. Repeated hand thinning was 3.6 fruit per pound. Percent undersize in the machine plus hand, 2%. In the hand thin only, 7%. Weight of number one fruit, 148 grams in the machine plus touch-up hand thinning versus 130. What's the difference there? That early thinning, 30 days after bloom by machine, made the difference only because all of the undersize, all the small fruit, was then removed by hand. The diameter of those number one fruit also were larger with the machine plus the repeated hand thinning versus the hand thinning only. The time to hand thin after mechanical thinning was reduced by 32%. Cost to thin was reduced by 34% when you combine all the costs, mechanical and hand. The savings was about $500 per acre on thinning costs, but there was a yield reduction of 3 tons per acre with a machine plus hand. Why? The grower says he overthinned. I'd agree with him. We need to go for number one fruit. Not the biggest number one fruit, just number one fruit. And we're talking to the processors. They are rethinking, I believe, too, not only acceptance of machine thin fruit, but also, and machine harvest, excuse me, but also what fruit size are they willing to accept without big penalty. Remember that the machine thinning removes some of the big fruit and leaves some of the small fruit. Well, removal of some of that big fruit reduced the yield somewhat. And there was a reduction in the undersize by 5% that contributed to that loss of yield. Now, in the long run, if we can maximize these labor reduction methodologies, we can bear some yield reduction. If you're comparing a per hour basis machine thinning at $90 to $95 per hour versus what it costs you in man hours to do the same job, you can tolerate more undersize, more collagen, reduce yield if we can bring the overall efficiency of machine and chemical thinning to what it needs to be, and we're working towards doing that. Shorter growing season simply couldn't make up that size difference, not with those 30 days of warm temperatures. Okay, what are the factors that favor machine thinning that we've learned so far? Short, stiff wood, not long, whippy wood. Even fruit development size-wise, which is going to be tough to get if you're talking about a straggly bloom, but might be easier to get if we do some chemical bloom thinning. Because, obviously, we're hitting flowers that are at different stages, and only certain stages are sensitive. Compact tree, that's going to be a lot better. Not just because you get better light interception throughout the entire tree, so your flower bud development is pretty much the same, but you're also reducing the differential between the force that's distributed to the top and the force that's distributed to the bottom of the tree. Testing thoroughly all machine variables with the trees at every site every year. And a good count of crop load and fruit removal. These are the essential items at this point. What do we know? The optimum size for thinning by machine is 20 to 27 millimeters. If the fruit are bigger, don't bother. You'll take them off. Optimize the equipment. It requires a short, hard shake. The standard almond shaker, for instance, won't do it. We've tested that. It's got to be very precise. You can shake repeatedly at different angles to the tree. Come in at 90 degrees to the tree. You get a fruit removal distribution one way. Come around 45 degrees from that. You can even out that distribution somewhat. Training and pruning system matters. We've already discussed that basically. You have to tolerate some uneven distribution. You have to take off enough fruit, and you have to be willing to tolerate higher cullage and some yield reduction in some years. Okay, this slide shows you what matters on size. In 2005, on the left-hand side, you see the size distribution, how different that was due to straggly bloom. If you've got a really heavy set, it's easier to remove smaller fruit earlier. The size that I'm showing in my fingertips there versus the size on the hand. Well, you see prunes over there next to those peaches. That's the biggest that prunes can be in order to shake effectively and not remove all too much fruit. You see how big those peaches are? That's way too big. So that gives you an idea of size really mattering. And here's the rest of the title that Roger plotted out for me. What's the future work that we're considering? Chemical thinning plus and minus machine thinning. Get that fruit off early for machine thinning so that we remove the difficult to thin fruit and reduce the variability in what's left. We're looking at Tom Gradziel's newest selections. The most interesting ones are extra late. They hang on the tree so that you end up with even maturity for a single pick or single machine harvest. They're firmer, they have more color, so that they develop minimum color earlier and they show bruising less. There's at least one selection that's got naturally a compact tree shape, short internodes. However, it does have some blind wood, but that reduces the need for pruning and also gives you a more even light distribution throughout that canopy so that you can get a more uniform fruit maturity. And there is some brown rot resistance in some of these selections. We're also talking about looking at some non-standard training systems to consider that for how to structure for both mechanical thinning and mechanical harvest. Pre- and post-harvest plant growth regulators to increase firmness and decrease mechanical damage for machine harvest. And I've given some short list up there. And then what we're calling POM, peach orchard mechanization as a total concept, fully mechanized orchard. So those are the strategies that we're thinking of, talking about, working towards. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I did want to show this. This is Kevin Day. He had these trees in Kearney. We saw them last week up there on the left-hand side, wide open vase structure. That's one of the very compact tree structures that we're considering for mechanization. Pruning is reduced. It is a renewal wood type system. Very even distribution of light through the canopy. There's some establishment considerations. And what is shown on the right hand side is versus a standard tree. One of the things that we're really believing here, whether you go pedestrian orchard for working from the ground or for mechanization, bring those tree heights down, 8 to 10 feet maximum, and there are different ways to do that. So I wanted to show you that slide, and I appreciate Kevin letting me do that. Thank you.
Have you set yours, could you flower them or mechanical harvest or can you get some damage?
Question is, in a heavy set year, could you mechanically thin the bloom? You know, there are people who are doing that or trying to do that elsewhere. I think there'd be less of an advantage to that than actually chemically thinning. And frankly, in all the chemical thinning work we've done, the most reliable results as far as bloom thinning is with GA3 in the summer before. Now, growers didn't want to adopt that because they always said, well, hey, we want to see what set is. The problem is a lot of the time at the bloom conditions, you don't necessarily have good weather conditions. There's a lot more variability in the response. And you have a very narrow window of opportunity to apply chemical bloom thinners to get them to work. We're talking 70-80% of full bloom. If you have a big, long, spread out bloom, when is that?
So the time appears to be ripe to revisit thinning with GA3, that'd be ProGib. The season before, we've got a cooperator, Sarge Joel, who wants to do it in this coming season, along with all of our other chemical thinners that are good options. We have a lot of them. We tested a lot of things. A lot of things that have worked elsewhere don't work well in California, and we've tried pretty much all of them. I'd say that there appears like there may be an organic option. This year I had some good results with a horticultural vinegar too, so that's another thing that we're going to be testing. So there are a lot of possibilities. As far as mechanically thinning off bloom, I just don't have a lot of hope for that.
Yeah.
On the chemical thinning art, from an approach standpoint, is everything that you're looking at strictly controlled phytotoxicity, or are you looking at chemicals that are thinning from some other physiological process?
There are different processes that occur with different kinds of thinners. If you use ProGib, GA3 in the summer before, you're actually inhibiting some of the flower from some of the buds becoming floral. They remain vegetative instead. And depending upon when you do that, there's some selectivity along the shoot as it develops, because of course the basal buds are the ones that develop first as the fruit wood grows out. If you preferentially time the applications differently, if you can do that precisely enough, and there's been a certain amount of work that's been done on that, you can select for flower buds at different stages of development, either becoming flower buds or not. That's one mechanism. The mechanism that works with ammonium thiosulfate and penetrance is actually caustic. It burns the reproductive surface in that flower so that pollen can't germinate and fertilize the ovule. So those are completely different strategies in how they work.
Will chemical thinning kill bees?
Good question. And I'm not sure that it's one that I can answer. However, ProGib wouldn't do that. You're applying it prior to harvest and after bloom. As far as ammonium thiosulfate, if you're spraying first thing in the morning before the bees are out, I don't believe it's any concern at all. They aren't going to visit flowers that show what these flowers show. Within a day, those petals are going to turn brown. You're going to go out there, and if you do a real magnificent job of it, like Roger talked about, and certainly we've had our share of that, you're going to say, my gosh, this looks like blossom blast. Because what you do is you burn the blossoms too, and they turn brown. Bees aren't going to visit those anyway. I think the only concern would be if you get the spray directly on the bees, and if you spray before the bees are flying, I don't think that's an issue. And that would be ideal anyway, because you have higher humidity, longer drying time, and I think you'd get a better result.
Okay.